when we want to talk about energy value, it is to talk about net energy. So net energy, in short, I would say that net energy is a little bit more complex to understand, to measure, but it is very easy to implement.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an eco-lab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Poultry Podcast. Today I have special guest, Dr. Jean Noblet, again in the Poultry Podcast. Last time we had him in my shorter version of Nutrition Black Belt. Dr. Noblet, welcome to the program.
Very pleased to be here again. Yes, you want me to introduce it a bit myself? I started in research about 50 years ago. That's a long, long time. And I spent about 40 years in research at INRA. That's the public organization for research in agriculture in France. And I retired about 10 years ago. And during my retirement, I have kept busy a little bit, working on poultry nutrition and mainly poultry energy. So my research in the past at INRA and over the last 10 years has mainly concerned energy requirements of pigs, poultry, calves, turkeys, such animals. And also I have worked a little bit on energy regulation, the regulation of energy intake, thermoregulation, anything related to energy. Another point which was very important was the energy value of feed for meeting the requirements of the animals. And we have attempted to put all that together in models for predicting the requirements and feeding tables for the energy value of pig and poultry feeds. And that's most of my research. And I would say that these results has been conducted mainly according to the so-called indirect calorimetry method, which consists in measuring the heat production of the animals. So the podcast for today is, to some extent, more details about this energy utilization and energy value of poultry feeds that I presented very briefly in a previous podcast.
Yes. Now, thank you for your brief introduction and what we covered last time versus what your experiences are so far.
AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the poultry industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive poultry production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
It's our opportunity to learn today in the podcast. Also, and as we all know, feed cost, the energy cost, is very expensive. It's the most expensive in any kind of poultry or swine diet. So here we're trying to dig a little bit into some concepts and methods or methodologies that Dr. Noblet has been using in his past many years of his career. So Dr. Noblet, if you can tell a little bit about these methods, and I know you said indirect calorimetry, but just kind of, can you elaborate that a little bit on the concepts and methods that you use, poultry feeds?
Okay, so the concepts for energy evaluation of poultry feeds, and it can be the same for pig feeds and so on, consists in looking at the different ways and different techniques for evaluating the energy in poultry feeds. So we could start from gross energy. I think everybody knows about gross energy. Gross energy is the heat of combustion of an ingredient or a feed. But unfortunately, it means almost nothing for the animal, because a large fraction and variable fraction of this gross energy is not usable, is not digested by the animal. So then we move to the so-called DE, or digestible energy. But unfortunately for poultry, it's not very easy to measure the DE and separating the feces and the urine. So most of the time, when we look at energy value of poultry feeds, we are concerned with ME, or metabolizable energy value of feeds. So what we do usually, we collect, we measure the energy intake and we collect the excreta, and we get the so-called apparent ME, which is the difference between the gross energy and the energy of the outputs. Some others and some countries have been concerned with correcting the ME value for, I would say, some endogenous energy losses, which are not related to the feed, but related to the animal. And they have, these people have proposed the so-called concept of true ME or TME. I must say that this TME concept is much is less used and less and less used, I would say, on a world basis. I think I would say mainly in North America at that time. So clearly another point which is very important when we talk about poultry, and that's, I would say, that's a little bit historical. Most ME values for poultry are corrected for zero nitrogen balance. That has been done for a long time, and it is still done today. But I would say that this situation of zero nitrogen balance is not representative of the energy value of the feeds that are given to fast-growing broilers or lay hens that retain about 50 or 70% of the energy. So we are using a concept that is not at all representative of the actual energy value in the animal. And the consequence of that is that we, by using the AMEN, we penalize the ingredient according to the nitrogen content they have. I think the penalty for moving from AME to AMEN is small for, let's say, cereals or low protein ingredients, but it is much higher. It can be up to 10 or 12 or 15% for high protein ingredients. So we don't get a good hierarchy of the actual energy value of the ingredient. So that means that I would say that most feeding tables today are proposing AMEN values for feeds, for ingredients. But that's not nice and good and satisfactory. So that's why a few years ago we proposed to standardize the AME value for nitrogen retention coefficient, which is representative of what occurs in the animal production. And so then we proposed the so-called AMES, standardized AME, and that's the first basis for evaluating the energy value on the AME basis, which is better and more representative than the so-called MEN value. So the other point is afterwards, when we want to talk about energy value, it is to talk about net energy. So net energy, in short, I would say that net energy is a little bit more complex to understand, to measure, but it is very easy to implement. So why is it complex for measuring? It's because we have to deal with the heat production that is associated with the use of ME for meeting the energy requirements for maintenance, for protein gain, for fat gain, for egg energy gain, and so on. And so that's a little bit more complicated, and the measurement is a little bit complex. It takes time, a lot of technicity, a lot of hypotheses, and so on. So measuring net energy is more complicated. So what is important at the end is that the net energy, when it is measured properly, is the combination of the energy, the net energy for maintenance, which is equivalent to the so-called fasting reproduction, plus the amount of energy that is retained in the body or retained in the eggs for poultry. So net energy can be measured as, can be considered as energy for maintenance plus net energy for gain. Net energy for gain can be measured according to different techniques. I have no time to detail all that today. But very briefly, that is detailed in the few review papers I published in Maine in Animal Nutrition in 2022 and 2024, where all these different technical and methodological aspects are presented. So at the end, when we talk about net energy, the objective is to get a net energy prediction of the energy, because net energy is very difficult to measure, so it cannot be done routinely. So that's why we have to rely on equations. And for calculating these equations, you need a lot of measurements on different diets and different ingredients eventually, and afterwards to do a combination of the energy value, of the ME value, plus some chemical indicators, which are combined in regression equations in order to predict the net energy. And so that's the objective of for net energy, is to be able at the research stage to propose a prediction of net energy that is based on criteria which are easily available. I mean the ME content and some chemical indicators. So that are the different steps: gross energy, ME, MEN, MES, and then net energy according to equations which are obtained on a large number of diets and under very standardized conditions. So that's roughly what are the different methods for measuring and evaluating the energy of poultry feeds.
Yeah, Gene, can you tell me a little bit about, maybe for the audience, like AMES? I know we do. I have heard AMEN and AMEN and AME, but AMES is something that you brought up, and I think I might have heard one more time only, other than you, before. Can we refresh that more, like again? Is that commonly available?
It is not commonly available yet. It is not in feeding tables. What feeding tables are proposing are AMEN values, but what we consider is that the nitrogen or the crude protein content in the feed under most practical conditions in broilers or in laying hens, about 50 at least, or even I would say 60% of the nitrogen is retained in the body. So then what we propose is to calculate MES as MEN plus a coefficient multiplied by 60% of the nitrogen that is contained in the feed or in the ingredient. That takes 1 second to calculate the MES from MEN and CP content or nitrogen content.
Yes.
So that's very easy. The coefficient is available in the literature, and so that can be done immediately. So that's the same procedure has been applied for pigs 30 years ago. And so the objective is not to care too much about this MES, because that's, we'll see later, that's one step for moving to net energy at the end. But for moving to net energy, you need a representative indicator of the ME value of the feed. And clearly the MEN value is not at all representative of the feed, because it doesn't correspond to the use of the feed, mainly for nitrogen or protein. But that's the approach.
Yeah, no, thank you. So thinking about a practicality of net energy here, I know you have worked a lot, and there is a system that's Arkansas data we have in a net energy. So is a system that you have proposed is an agreement or supported by the literature data that we can, as a user or as a other researcher, can we just use those values? How applicable is that? I know we've been talking about this and we've been talking for a longer time, but it's still, there are some of these hurdles just before using a GoHang and using a net energy. So what is your suggestion? How common is that? Like, how is that in agreement?
First, I think I should describe a little bit what we have done precisely for proposing a net energy systems for poultry. So I must say that during my retirement, I have had the chance of collaborating with two major groups, one in Australia at the University of New England, another one at the CP company in Thailand. And also, so we did trials over there. And I had a chance of, also we did some trials in France. And some of the work was also supported by a DCO company. So we played with all these data obtained in Australia, in Thailand, in France. And there are also some data available now in Brazil, but we did not use the Brazilian data. So we, from these measurements, we were able to produce net energy equations on about 50 different diets, so a large number of diets, very variable diets, and that all these studies were done in broilers. Broilers between, I would say, that was variable between the studies, but between 20 and 35 days on average. So we have validated also these measurements and the equation we obtained from these measurements in order to be sure about the equations we propose. And so at the end, we propose a few equations, not too many, two or three equations, relating the net energy value of a feed to the ME content of that feed, plus some chemical indicators. And the most significant chemical indicators were crude protein and fat. So we have proposed an equation that is able to predict directly the net energy of any feed. And we have shown from these measurements that the equation is applicable to diets, obviously, because it was obtained on diets, but more importantly, it's also applicable to ingredients. So that's what we have done. And so are these data comparable to what is available in literature? Clearly, the literature is rather poor because there are not many data. But from what we can observe between our data and the literature, there is a fairly good agreement. And especially the literature originating from Brazil, it is not published yet, but we have had contacts. And so there is a fairly good agreement between what has been done in Brazil and what we have produced from the combination of our trials in Australia, and Thailand, and France. So that's the first thing. So you mentioned, as I remember, something about the Arkansas system. So I know this the Arkansas group, they have produced some data 10 years ago, and they have also produced several abstracts, I think, over the last years. But I must say, I am not fully aware of what they have done because their data are not published. So, but what I can say from the data they have published is that the agreement on the fact on the protein difference and fat difference and so on, we are a good agreement. But what the difference mainly between the Arkansas system and what we propose is the absolute value of net energy, which is different. In other words, the ratio between net energy and ME is much higher in our proposals. And that is in agreement with some other studies as well. The Brazilian studies agree with ours, while the Arkansas data are producing a much lower value. So because I have not all the publications of that or all the details, I cannot see where is the difference. But there is some difference.
And also, it would be very nice, like how we do for apparent metabolizable energy and then AMEN, if the energy would be that easier to apply, to invent or reinvent the wheel in all the labs across, then that would be a different story. But the process itself is a little bit, it's demanding and it's a lot of work, as we all are aware. So I think that might be the one of the reasons of not being able to really validate. I mean, we may not need to validate across the world, but at least inside the North America or North and South America, if we can have just common values there, I think that is more kind of would be more applicable to all the us as a feed company or in a poultry company. So, okay, we talked about these and all. So how can I implement these any system? Let's say if I'm a feed company. So if I'm a feed company, and do I need to measure the net energy of the ingredients?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Clearly, I think You have mentioned that, and I have insisted on that. Measuring net energy is time-consuming. It requires a lot of technicity. The response is quite low. It's quite slow. You need money, and that's I would say more research activity. So that means that for the industry afterwards, they don't have to care about these measurements. And the easy way of tackling the problem is to use the equations. Simply, the equations are able to relate the net energy to the ME value of the feed. There is an equation, NE as a function of ME content plus or minus some chemical indicators. So very simply, and this equation is applicable to complete diets, but more importantly, as I said before, to ingredients. So if you are in the industry, you only use the equations. But the main problem there at this time is which ME I should take, where I can get the information. So there are plenty of information about ME, and especially AMEN values. As I said, there are feeding tables. You can use equations. There are different equations that have been produced for predicting the ME value of a family of ingredients or one ingredient according to its chemical characteristics. You have also very, very fast methods with the infrared approach for predicting the ME value. Different companies are proposing systems for evaluating the ME. So what is important is to be able to get the right ME, and especially the right AMEN. So the approach then is to start from AMEN and calculate AMES in order to have ME value that is representative of the practical situation. And then you put this AMES value in your net energy prediction equations. And then you have the net energy value. So afterwards, you can tell me which feeding table should I take. Should I take the NRC? There are very old ones. So should I take the most recent ones? Should I take the Spanish ones or the French ones or the Dutch ones? Or the anyway? So that's not my purpose. You know what I mean, that's not my point. What is very, very important is to be sure or as sure as possible on the MEN value. That's the point which is the most important. And you must be aware that MEN value is not one single value for one ingredient. It varies with the ingredient. It varies with the stage of production. It's not the same exactly in a layer and a broiler. It's not there are different factors. It is not the same if it's as a mash or as pellets or as extruded. So there are different factors which may affect the MEN value. But at the end, net energy is not anymore a problem, I think. And I may propose the equations we proposed in our 2024 paper. I don't want to say that that's the absolute truth, clearly. But that's a very good indication of the net energy, and this equation have been obtained in different parts of the world. They have been obtained according to very controlled conditions. And so I feel rather confident. I must say that I cannot tell you in details today, but there is a fairly good agreement between our data and the Brazilian data. Because in the Brazilian data in the group of Nilva Sakomura, they also produce a lot of good measurements, and both sets of data fit very much. So we are very happy with that, I think.
Yeah, no, Dr. Nobler, you mentioned about 2024 paper. I am a little afraid. I have not seen that. Is it possible to share that literature when we finish and we publish this recording? Maybe then all of the people can even click that link and open the paper. That would be great.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I produced different papers over the last years. Even I am a retired person, but the most important is the 2024 paper in animal nutrition. That's a review paper on net energy in poultry, and that's the one to get. I also produced another one in I think it was in 2022, more about the methods, the technical aspects of measuring, evaluating energy, and that was both in pigs and in poultry. So, and there are some other papers also, which are publications of the different groups in Australia, in Thailand, in France, and so. But the most important one is the 2024 paper in animal nutrition.
Okay, we'll do that and we'll share to the public. The other thing I wanted to ask about is that back in when I was doing my master's program, my previous advisor's lab used to do a lot of work with swine. As I'm from animal science, it was my master's from. So they were doing some comparative slaughter and indirect calorimetry in swine. So how much can you tell why we do not, do we do a comparative slaughter method in poultry too? Or how is that coming?
I think, the comparative slaughter method is much more developed in poultry than in pigs, you know, because it's much easier. For instance, the group in Arkansas, in the group of Craig Kuhn, they do calorimetry, but they also do comparative slaughter methods. They are using a little bit some variations because they are measuring with DEXA techniques for measuring the body composition. But that's a sort of comparative slaughter methods. And there are plenty of studies conducted. I would say that most of the studies in poultry have been conducted so far with the comparative slaughter. That's only the most recent one. I mean, the study we did in France, the study conducted in Thailand and in Australia and in Brazil. These studies have been conducted according to the indirect calorimetry methods because it's more flexible and it's easier to run, but it's more technical, I would say, than the comparative slaughter methods. So, and in pigs, I would say that it's awful to work with the comparative slaughter method for pigs. Only if you work with piglets, that's easier. But otherwise, that's very, very heavy and very complicated. And I would not encourage anybody to start comparative slaughter techniques in heavy pigs. That's what some people did in the US. I think that was 10 or 15 years ago. But that was a disaster.
Wow.
That's very complicated. That's too much work and too much stuff.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Probiotech International is driven by innovation, inspired by nature, and passionate about contributing to a more sustainable, safe, and healthy food system. We work closely with our customers to deliver solutions to current and future challenges facing the animal production sector while using natural active ingredients such as chemotypes and polyphenols derived from plant extracts and spices. Our products follow a rigorous scientific validation process. They are then proven to work through thorough field research, certified for quality, and then brought to market as a complete and effective solution. In a world filled with rapid change, let Probiotech International deliver your opportunities for solutions and savings to your program. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information.
Absolutely. I know what you mean. No, that's great. You have work, and maybe we kind of hear maybe one or maybe two more questions before we wrap up today. You have work with swine and you have work with poultry. Are these net energy system used for pigs consistent with what is proposed for poultry?
I would say yes, very clearly. We show that in, and I would say that even in fish, I haven't worked with fish, but the fish response is exactly the same. For instance, what we call, when we talk about net energy, we are concerned with the efficiency of ME for net energy. And I have not detailed all these aspects, but when the energy, the ME is used for net energy in poultry or in pigs or in fish, the energy that is supplied by protein is used much less efficiently than when the energy is supplied by starch, carbohydrates, and it is even and these values for starch are even lower than that for fat. That's exactly the same figure, the same response in both pigs, poultry, and fish. So, so that means that the concept of net energy can be applied to any monogastrics species, as far as I know. I don't know about the polygastrics or ruminants, but clearly there is no reason today not to move to net energy for poultry and even for fish maybe, because for pigs, we have done that over the last 20, 30 years. And as we say, most pigs in the world today are fed on a net energy basis. Maybe not in the US, but in most countries in the world, they use net energy. And so I think net energy should be implemented both in pigs and also in poultry. So the main difficulty is not using net energy and implementing net energy. The most the biggest difficulty will remain to be sure and accurate and reliable on the DE value for pigs and on the MEN value for poultry, so which are affected by plenty of different factors. And if you control the variability of DE in pigs or MEN in poultry, then no problem afterwards for using net energy afterwards. So I would say that the complexity of net energy, which is almost, which is quite often mentioned by people, is not true. I mean, the complexity is to be sure on the digestibility of energy and nutrients.
I think you made a very good point that it is not that hard to apply the net energy, but I think we have to be very careful about the digestible energy in case of pigs and AMEN energy in case of poultry. That's going to predict our equation. I think that's a very good point. And I mean, we're almost at the end of the show today, but I would like to make a point here. It's very absolute pleasure for me to interview today, because when I was a student in my master's and PhD, I used to see a lot of equation from Noblet. So it's a kind of live person today here to interview. It's my pleasure. And thank you so much, Dr. Jean Noblet, for coming today and having your providing your precious time to interview with us. Thank you. Do you have to say anything before we wrap up?
No. You mentioned about the equations. I must say that when I work on pigs, I produce far too many equations, and that makes some complication for the end users at the end. So that's why for poultry, in our recent work with poultry, we have simplified and only proposed two or three equations. So that's the result of our past and past experience. I think nothing very exciting, but that's clear that we should move to net energy in the future, anywhere in the world and for any monogastric animal species. So that's my message.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you all for who are listening or watching us in our program, Poultry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Pratima Adhikari from Mississippi State University. We had today our guest, special guest, Dr. Jean Noblet. Thank you again for coming, and see you later.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.